What up, everybody? It's your boy Joel Garibu, still from Nairobi, for another episode of the Global Citizen Podcast. Before we get started on today's episode, I got a special announcement. The Global Citizen Podcast now has a co-host, Jabari Smith.
Yes, sir. I am here and I'm excited, so enthused about this journey to be a part of the Global Citizen Podcast. I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana, but I've been based in Nairobi for almost 3 years.
So Jabari was the last guest on the podcast, and after that episode, I think people kind of knew that we had to continue it as a two-man team. There'll be times where we're together. There'll be times where I'll be doing it dolo. Same with Jabari. Actually, now Jabari is going to board a plane in about 12 hours to where?
New Zealand. Queenstown, New Zealand, to be exact. South Island of New Zealand, which is actually the adventure mecca of the world. I'm headed there to film 7 episodes of an adventure travel web series, which is produced by Australian travel company World Nomads.
So Jabari's doing big things, and one of the big things he's doing is being a co-host on the Global Citizen Podcast.
Yes, sir.
Jabari, as I guess an inauguration to being a co-host on the Global Citizen Podcast, I would like you to lead us off to who our guest is for this episode.
It brings me much pleasure to introduce the next guest of the Global Citizen Podcast. She is a global citizen in every sense of the word, having lived in 8 countries and worked in 5. Her name is Natalie Maikare. She is Rwandese, Chadian, Belgian, and the list goes on and on. She runs a market research firm, which is actually the first online African market research firm dedicated to entrepreneurs and small businesses across the continent of Africa. And she's going to tell you her journey from growing up in Ukraine, speaking Russian as her first language, to now running a venture that is bound to be the go-to market research firm across the continent of Africa. Ladies and gentlemen, it brings me much joy to present Natalie Maikare. Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Welcome to Global Citizen Podcast, where we highlight individuals like yourself who are leading lives very much so aligned with global citizenship. Your background, your journey speaks to that. So tell our viewers a little bit about that background and journey, starting with your name.
Okay. My name is Natalie Maikare. Well, I was born in Ukraine. My first language was Russian until I was 6. And then we moved to Rwanda. I was raised by 2 parents from different culture. My mother is from Rwanda and my father from Chad.
So essentially you are what they term a third culture kid, TCK. Are you familiar with that term?
Not really.
Third culture kids are children of parents from different nationalities who were raised in a country different from either of their parents' nationalities. So third culture kids, TCK. There are books about TCKs. I didn't know about TCKs until I came to Kenya and met so many TCKs, third culture kids. So tell us, what does global citizenship mean to you?
Well, what? I don't know. Like, for me, it's like to belong to every country and to be able to have this ability to adapt to any environment. So we went to Rwanda and then we went to Burundi, Mozambique, because I have parents who were working for a humanitarian organization, so we were moving all the time. And some challenges that people think they are challenges. For us, for me and my brothers and sister, are not the challenges. Like security, we can move from one country to another country without really thinking of the future. We just know that it will be okay. We just move. And I think that's what our strength for people who have different backgrounds, who have multi-nationalities also, actually, because I feel like I'm Kenya, I feel Kenyan. When I'm Belgium, I feel Belgian. And I'm always, I want to learn languages and cultures, and I feel comfortable everywhere, actually.
When you go to New Orleans, you'll feel New Orleanian, which will be amazing. And I love that. I think that's also, to me, what global citizenship is all about. Knowing that home is wherever you are, and you can be at home, you can carry out your dreams and goals wherever you care to take them across the global community. What country for you played the biggest role in your development as an entrepreneur and as a woman?
Well, Kenya, that's why I'm based here, and that's why I decided to launch my business here, actually. When I came here, I discovered the entrepreneurial environment that I didn't know. I used to work in a humanitarian background because of my parents. So when I came here, I was like, okay, I want to be involved in development of the Africa. And I discovered that there is another way to be involved in that growth and in development. And Kenya is a kind of mix of, I grew up in Europe, mostly. I didn't really grow up in Europe, but in Belgium is where I stayed the most. I'd stayed there for 10 years. I've never stayed for 10 years in one place before. So I feel like I'm Belgian. And what I wanted to say.
Kenya.
Yeah, so when I came back in Kenya, I was like, it's Africa. At the same time, it's European. I feel like I'm very comfortable. How can I say that? When I go to Rwanda, I feel like I'm obliged. I have to behave like Rwandan, things that I don't really have. I'm like a global citizen. I cannot be one person. And here, we can be everything. We can be Kenyan, we can be Rwandan, we can be Belgian, we can be US, from the USA, we can be everyone. And everyone is welcome, and that's what I liked here. I grew up in Rwanda. And then speak French. I'm French speaking. In my family, we always, after Russian, we spoke French. And I speak Portuguese.
Falo muito.
I learned many languages like Hindi, Kiswahili. I understand Kirundi because it's very close to, and I understand Spanish. I cannot speak, but I understand fluently. Yeah.
So, when you were younger, or even now, when you had goals and dreams, specifically the dreams, can you remember what languages those dreams were in?
In French. Yeah, when I think in French, that's my. The problem also is to be a global citizen is you don't have really a language. Like I started with Russian, and then I studied a bit in Kenya, Rwanda, and then French. Actually, I don't feel like I speak French as French native, like French people. I know my French is. It's very good, but I don't feel as French as French people, as I don't feel Rwandan as Rwandan people. Even I speak really, my Kinyarwanda is very good. I mean, it's perfect.
Yes.
But I will not, because yeah, you know all cultures, but at the same time, there are some things that you don't have. I don't have this, I don't feel like Rwandan, but I don't feel neither Belgian, like, yeah. Yeah, you are everything at the same time, you are nothing. What makes unique, actually.
So, to the point of you saying when you're in Rwanda, you feel a need to act a certain way, whereas in Kenya, you feel more free. What is it about Rwanda that makes you feel as if you need to adhere to certain social norms, whereas in Kenya, you feel more free?
It's from people. The people expect to you to behave like that. And here, people don't expect anything. You are just who you are, and then, and that's it. They would ask me, oh, where are you from? Because I have an accent which is a bit strange. I would say, I'm from Rwanda. Oh, okay, and then we continue our conversation, here. Which is different when you're in Rwanda or even in Belgium. I'm Belgian, but people will ask me, where are you from? If I say I'm from Belgium, but where are you from, really? And yeah, and here we'll just continue the conversation. It's like, oh, okay.
Very true. I think that's one of the things I love about Kenya. I love that you said, you know, here you can be from wherever and still feel so Kenyan. And I think it has a lot to do with Kenyan culture, Kenyan people. No matter where you're from, no matter how long you've been here, you could have been here 48 hours and they're like, oh, you're Kenyan. Like, you're just Kenyan. Like, welcome to Kenya. Get married, buy some land, get dual citizenship. It's that Caribou Kenya hospitality that makes this place so special. And I think it makes it an ideal place for people to further their journeys of global citizenship, much like I've been able to do. Joel as well, you, all three of us, but also for people to uncover their journeys of global citizenship in an environment where it's okay to be from wherever you're from. And at the same time, you're a part of Kenya. You're Kenyan by virtue of just being here. And that's really special about this
place. True. I agree with you. I have nothing to...
Speaking of journeys, so your journey has brought you here to Nairobi. Can you explain a bit about what you do?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur. I just launched a business that is dedicated to assisting the small and medium startups. I would like them actually to give them a kind of push to be able to launch their ventures. I believe that they need to know their market, because I've worked for many startups, and what I noticed that it was that they don't know their market, their playing field. They believe in their ideas, which is we need to believe in our idea, but we also need to know our playing field, and that's what really a missing piece everywhere, actually, everywhere where I worked. And that's what I want to bring to them, and offer them affordable market research services.
What made you want to be an entrepreneur, work for yourself? What was that moment where you knew, I need to represent myself, I need to work for myself, be my own boss?
I have no idea. I guess I had that in my me, and I didn't know that. So I can't tell, actually, what made me. I just woke up, I was like, okay, I can do it. I knew I could do it. I was trying to get a job. I never got a job. I was like... the job that I wanted, at least. And the thing I had, because I didn't have jobs, I had to work for startups to help them to start their businesses or even NGOs. And that, I just knew that I want to work with startups because there are more passion and motivation. People wake up every day, they want to work. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do, and I want to stay in that area. And that's what And it was like, what is missing? Market research. Let's do market research. I've done many market research when I was a student. Why not? So, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your educational background.
Well, I studied international business in Belgium. And then I tried to complete it with business management studies. Yeah.
In Belgium as well?
Yeah, in Belgium.
Okay. Do you find that that education you received in Belgium translates well here in Kenya?
Well, I learned market research in Belgium during now I understand why I needed that, actually. Why we needed market research. When I started, I didn't understand, but once you are on the ground and see how the organizations are working, I understand why they need market research. And also management, I think I learned management when I was working with the people, good managers actually. I was just observing how they work, and that's I learned a lot from my experience.
With a diverse background such as yours, do you think ever at times think that each part of you of where you've been has made the Natalie of today, or are there more parts of you that you kind of relate to? I know you said that you grew up mostly in Belgium, but do you think that every country you've been to really is like kind of like a puzzle?
Yeah, every country, every single country brought me something. Do you want details?
Yeah. I'm curious to know about your vision for your children. You are a mother.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your kids as well as how you would like them to be raised as global citizens, or what your vision is for them, because they weren't born in Kenya.
One of them
was born here.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your family, your kids, and the vision for them in terms of them charting their own journeys of global citizenship.
Well, even before I get kids, I knew my kids have to have the same experience to travel and see different countries. So, yeah. So we left Belgium when my firstborn was 3 months, and he has seen Kenya, Burundi, Rwanda, India, and then we have traveled South Africa. I mean, we travel a lot, and the only reason I don't want to go back to Belgium, I don't want him to raise him in the one culture. I want him to here in Kenya. Yeah, he's in international. He's in French school, so he has many kids from different culture, different backgrounds. I have an example. He has one of them. One of his friends. He told me he has one in France. He's from China. I was like, I've never seen Chinese in your class. Yeah, yeah, this one. And he told me, I mean, he's not Chinese. He's French. No, he was born in China. He's Chinese. So every kid thinks that they are from where they were born. He's from Belgium because he was born in Belgium, and his sister is from Kenya because she was born in Kenya. So, yeah, I want them to know, to have this global citizenship because, it's very rich. And I can't, it's like I can't put them in one culture. It's like putting them in a prison. So, yeah.
On that note, it's interesting that you say that, you know, if they were to be raised in Belgium, they would only essentially be exposed to Belgian culture, whereas in Kenya, they're able to be seemingly exposed to more cultures. And I think that speaks to how diverse Kenya is, but we often speak about Western countries, Europe, the US, in more of an international context, but even when I think about having a family, I think about wanting to raise my kids in Kenya, feeling like they would at least some part of their journey in Kenya or in other countries where I feel like they would be able to gain a richer international experience. Why do you think it is that in countries that are often viewed as the pinnacle of international glory that they're not, you know, they don't really promote diversity as much as a country like Kenya that people don't even realize is as international and diverse as it is?
So what's your question?
My question is, it's more of a statement, but why do you think that in Belgium they would not be as exposed to other cultures, whereas in Kenya they are?
Yeah, because, I don't know, in Europe they are afraid of immigration. Immigration because we are from poor country, so... Yeah, they are just afraid of us. And here, we are, I mean, you have poor and rich. Rich are welcome, poor are welcome. You are just, there is no fear. So everyone is welcome as long as you can work and everything is positive here, I think, more than in Belgium. In Belgium, as I told you, people, my kids are not Belgian. Their father is Belgian. I mean, I'm Belgian too, but his father is really Belgian, but his kids are not. So, yeah, they're just afraid. They're just afraid. Everything. Like, when you see when we have terrorism attacks in here, they don't react as they react in Belgium or in France. People, I don't know. That's what makes different, actually. That's why we feel welcome here, because people are not afraid of us. You are welcomed, yeah.
I'm glad you brought up the recent terror attacks in Belgium. I might be asking a question that you probably just answered, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I mean, being your family, being from Belgium, what just transpired, which was very tragic, was your reaction primarily about... the care and safety of Belgian citizens? I mean, I know there was that, but let me try to ask the question properly. Did it have an effect on you in the fact that as much media coverage that was given attention to Belgium was maybe so much more than what transpired in Africa and Cote d'Ivoire and Burkina Faso? Did you notice that? Did that have an effect on you, or were you really focused on hoping that everyone in Brussels, in the airport, and in the train station was okay?
First of all, I was afraid that my brother or my sister was in the train, in the metro that I used to take every day too. So yeah, the first time you are just afraid, and then when you see how people react, like some, you feel like some people have more rights than others. When it's here, people, we don't really talk it about, but in Belgium, it's like the whole world knows that Belgium, there are 30 people were dead. I mean, here we had more than 100 last time, and people don't talk about it. So I was, I feel hurt, actually, because it's my country. Belgium's still my country, and then and here also. So, and you have this demonstration against immigration, it's against us. And I mean, we have nothing to do with terrorism. So, yeah. What was your question again?
You answered it.
On the topic of terrorism, you remember I told you that I had some interesting dreams the past two nights. Well, yesterday I dreamt that I was with Michelle Obama. I did. Actually, Nakia was there too. And so I walked into a room. Michelle's back was to me, and I saw Nakia. It's like I knew Michelle Obama was in the room, and I just wanted to, like, get in there and say hi. So I pretended to go in and speak to my friend, and then I turn around to Michelle, and I'm like, you know, this, like, surprise face, like, but she greeted me like she knew me, and she even complimented my physique. I was like, it was very, very interesting. That was a really cool dream, Michelle Obama. But last night, I actually had a dream that I was with some college friends and we were in a mall or an establishment, very close friends of mine, and I remember getting into an elevator with a friend, and I can't remember someone else, and then the elevator started shaking as if the elevator was breaking down. And I remember for a minute in the dream praying, like, okay, like, if this thing is going to crash, then I'm just preparing myself. But then the elevator opened, and people were just running. And the other friend, who's a girl from New Orleans as well, she was running, and we were calling her. And then we realized that, you know, we saw guys with guns, and, you know, it was like Al-Shabaab was there. So people were running, and literally, it was like we were in the middle of a terrorist attack. And, you know, one of the guys tried to pull me, but I ran away from him. And then another guy, you know, I threw his gun. And it was really interesting. It was actually a very scary dream. It's one of those dreams you wake yourself up from and you're like, okay, I just need to shake myself out of this. So it's just really interesting how, you know, prior to being in Kenya, I had no knowledge about, you know, Al-Shabaab or, you know, the proximity to terror attacks. It was very foreign. And now it's something that I'm having dreams about. And though nothing like that has happened here in a while, it still speaks to when you are a global citizen, you know, you are expanded mentally, socially, emotionally, in ways, intellectually, in ways that you never imagined possible. And I thought about telling my friends about this dream, but I don't want to scare them. But it's just really interesting because that is a direct relation to my experience in Kenya. I was here during Westgate. I was here during the Garissa attack, here during the Mpeketoni attack in Lamu on the coast. So, and I've seen how people have not reacted as in as outraged of a way globally about these attacks here, whereas Paris, Brussels have received much more attention, and you wonder, you know, what is this about? Is it a skin color issue? Is it a nationality issue? Is it a continental issue? You know, what drives people to prioritize one nation suffering over another's?
Yeah, no, I guess those who are richer have more power, and those who don't, don't have rights. Some people have the value, I don't know how you call it, valeur.
Value.
Some people have more value than the others. That's what I see. That's what I see. My father works for MSF, Médecins Sans Frontières, for many years, and my husband too. and you can see when it's about giving money to help people, but when they are far, people give money, but they are far. They are like, okay, the problem is not mine. Now the problem is coming to them. Now, like, oh, there's something. What is about now? We don't want that. Just take them back. We just take your problems back to you. We want to be to stay in our comfort. We don't want to be involved. And this terrorist problem, it's global. It's not. It's not only for Kenya and Cote d'Ivoire. It's a global problem.
Yeah, just going back to a conversation we had earlier today about how people are okay with it if it's not their responsibility. So sometimes people will give money to keep it away, to make sure it's not their responsibility. But when the issue is coming closer to home, you know, the fact that it's their responsibility as well, it puts people in a very panicked place.
Yeah.
Two questions as we prepare to wrap up. One statement, one question. Interestingly, though it wasn't an act of terrorism, when New Orleans, my hometown, experienced Hurricane Katrina 11 years ago this year, it almost felt like, even in our own country, there was not the level of respect for the people who were affected. Primarily, everyone was affected. Let's say that 80% of the city was affected. And let's say New Orleans is like a 50-50 city, 50% white, 50% black. The demographics are just that evenly split. However, most of the people who media showed as having suffered from Hurricane Katrina were black people. poor people who weren't able to leave the city in time to escape the storm. And so what it did was it created a perception of New Orleans that people who had never been to the city wondered, like, what kind of place is this? Whereas for myself, family, friends, we're looking at what's being portrayed and, like, that's not us. That's not how we live. That's not who we are. But when you show people at their worst, what do you expect when people have lost everything? And it almost felt like it was very racial. And in the context of just, you know, terrorism, when people were displaced to other cities, there was that pushback. Oh, like, there's too many people, too many national refugees coming into our cities, our communities. And so just speaking about terrorism makes me think about New Orleans and how it was affected by Hurricane Katrina, and how even to this day when people ask me, how's your city, have you guys recovered, it angers me a bit, because 10 years down the line, you know, we're still working to shake that stigma of being a hurricane-torn city. So I can only imagine how people from countries that are quote-unquote war-torn feel. Specifically, even Rwanda, when 25 years down the line, people still relate Rwanda with genocide.
Genocide, I mean, it seems to be a very long time ago, but 25, I mean, it's 22 actually. 22, we commemorate yesterday. And 22, it's not far. I mean, people are still hurt, are still there, they have kids. I mean, we're still here, so we still have this pain, and the thing is, like, our genocide in Rwanda for Tutsi, against Tutsi, has less value than genocide that happened 60 years ago in Europe. We can't say anything about genocide against Jews.
Yeah.
But we can say French, I mean, the media say things against the genocide. I mean, they can laugh at the genocide in Rwanda, you know? So you wonder, like, do we have any value here in this world? I mean, it makes me very angry, actually. I don't like to talk about
it. Yeah. One comment, and then we can get into the last question, I guess, following up on something each of you said. So, you know, you brought up genocide in Rwanda, genocide in Europe. To take it even a step back, slavery, when people talk about the effects it's had on black people in the United States, globally, you know, people don't take it that seriously. They say, well, it's been so long, and you know, 400 years, 300 years, 200 years, it's really not that long ago.
The effects are lingering. 2016, there's still systemic institutionalized oppression that was implanted 300, 400 years ago. And it's really frustrating.
One last comment also, when you were talking about how it's a frustration when people ask you, has New Orleans recovered from the hurricane, from Hurricane Katrina? You know, it's the same thing with Haiti. You know, my family's from Haiti, and, you know, the only way I get some people to know about Haiti is, you know, where the earthquake occurred. And, you know, we are still recovering, but there's just so much more, kind of how you said that when you were home, for you, New Orleans was portrayed on television, people saw it in a certain way, and, like, that's not us. And, you know, I think everyone who's from a place that has experienced some sort of trauma, especially when it's a place with people of color, black people, it's shown in a light where you're like, that's not home. It's the reality of something that's happened, but that's not who we are. That's our identity is way more than that.
Yeah.
I have a question, a favor to ask you. Can you tell me your name again and say that you're a global citizen in English and in French?
My name is Nathalie Maikere. I'm a global citizen.
Great. And can you say it in French also?
Je m'appelle Nathalie Maikere et je suis citoyen du monde.
Thank you. Merci beaucoup. Thank you.
You have any last questions?
I have one question. You will be expanding your journey of global citizenship later this month. I'm very excited because you'll be traveling to the U.S. for the first time, but specifically to my hometown, my heart, my soul, New Orleans, Louisiana. How do you feel about traveling to what country number is this for you?
I didn't count, but...
A true global citizen has stopped counting, can't even keep track. Well, how do you feel about traveling to the U.S. for the first time, and specifically to a place like New Orleans, which is so rich in culture and heritage? Most people, when they speak about the U.S., particularly visiting for the first time, speak about New York City, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles. And I always say New Orleans is a place that people must visit because it is the most unique city and boasts the most unique culture in the U.S. So how do you feel about that?
I'm very excited. I'm very excited about the journey. So I can't wait. I can't wait to discover your heart, your soul. Yeah. And then, yeah, then you have more things to share.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
Natalie, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. We really appreciate it.
Hey, yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. Told you in the jam that we could get down. Now let